Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guy. People's Radio. It's all a GM in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne Hoop. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page. Eric Hamilton.
RZ fam is like, woo!
Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
It don't get no better than this, baby. I want winners.
You guys act like it. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up.
Smile.
Anybody can be peachy.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys of Real Guys Talk Real Sports, RSG, Renegade Radio, back in the building for another Slamming Tuesday Night Show, another Slamming Podcast. I got the fellas in the house. First off, you could have been anywhere in the world this evening, but you're here with us, and we'd like to thank you for your patronage. Allow me to get into your proceedings this evening. Before we get into everything we got going on for y'all, I must introduce the rest of the Renegades, what we are known worldwide as the illustrious three-man book. To my right, I got my man, D. Wills. Holler at the people.
Man, I'm feeling good. It's always good. Tuesday nights, man, it's like that weekly family reunion. I just got a warm feeling right now. I'm ready to just ride with y'all.
You know, it's a crisp fall day in Wisconsin. Hoodie weather,
yes.
My favorite. Loving it. It's a little rainy, a little gray. It's fall. You know, there's a hint of winter in the air. You know, so get a little warm and fuzzy, man. You start thinking about Thanksgiving and Halloween right around the corner. So I feel you, man. I'm warming up for the season. I'm feeling good about fall, man. To my left, I got my man, 100 grand, Phil T, Sport PhD, what's happening, Captain?
I got my mind made up. Come on, get it. Get in, too. Let's ride. Devon, are you sitting down right now?
I'm sitting down.
I've got some excellent news I've already shared with Marcus. Excellent, excellent news. I got to ask you, are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
There are rumors swirling that The Wire might come back for a sixth season.
Oh!
Oh, they did the mission.
The Wire.
That is, oh, the critically acclaimed. I was at the marathon. Oh,
Natural Police. Okay.
Natural Police.
just an update, fellas. I finished up season 3.
Ooh.
I finished up season 3. Yeah. Oh, Stringer Bell.
Yeah, hey, we got a spot for you in a rundown to rap about that. We got a spot for you in a rundown to share with some of the folks season 3. Because season 3 is probably the illest season. I love season 4. Season 4 kind of hits home with me because there's some elements to it that I really relate to. But season 3 is probably just the straight, raw season of The Wire.
Spin them away, gang.
Good stuff.
Playing them away, gang. So much. There's so many classic quotes, man. It's such a well-written show. Now, I was a little bittersweet on the news about it coming back, man, because for me, it's one of those things where it was perfect. To me, this is the perfect show. And I'm like, if it's coming back, it's got, like, I'm like, it's like, you know, it's like if Jay-Z came
like
out with a reasonable doubt, too.
Yeah,
it's like
George
came
like
out with a reasonable doubt, too. If you go call it reasonable doubt, too, now you immediately put it in contrast with reasonable doubt 1. And
well, I mean, the blueprint, KRS-One already made a joint called The Blueprint, but Jay came in and knocked out the park. But then The Blueprint 2, okay.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? Then Blueprint 2 came out, and it's like, what is this?
Was there a
you
Blueprint
know, really
3?
Yes, there was a Blueprint 3, which was it was a happy medium between the two. It wasn't as hard as Blueprint 1, not as bad as Blueprint 2.
Yeah.
So there's a redemption, but...
Was that the gift and the curse, Blueprint, like Blueprint 2?
Yeah.
See, I think that was one of
his
worst albums.
Right. Hey, if not the worst. It's just too much.
Worst,
you know, if he had to get 10 to 11 joints, Kingdom Come, those two are, let me pause for a second. Yeah, those two are at the bottom of any of Jay-Z's top albums list for me. Those two are at the bottom. I mean, those are bottom shelf. You know, they still kill about 80% of everybody else as far as an album goes, but his standard is just it's a 25-5 game for Jordan. You know,
right?
Anybody else does that, and that's awesome. But when Mike is giving you that, something's wrong. So
yeah, against the hapless kings. You know, that's the finale wasn't just an ordinary silly night. But, you know.
The Will Smith and Hubie, he went with Hapless.
The Hapless King.
That's not the Hubie Brown dictionary of basketball phrases right there. Hapless.
Commish, now that I got your attention, what is a fantasy basketball draft? You know, I've been checking
it's on the calendar,
the
man. I think it's October 29th. I want to say it's October 29th.
That's opening night,
man. I'm still waiting on. What's the 28th? And it's right at that. It's right at the bang. It's right there.
That'll
the night
work.
Before the season opens.
That'll work.
But what I was telling my man, I'm waiting on my man D. Wills and R. J. Page to get in.
Wow.
I need to ante up. You know, I've been on alert the past couple weeks in my wearing my other hat.
I'm getting
focused. Yeah, Devon is behind the 8-ball. I called Devon earlier this week, and his voicemail said, voicemail is full. Phil, please call him. It's been full for 32 days. Yeah, that's what the voicemail told me.
Hey, you know, we are who we are, man.
Yeah, when you try to move product, man, it's tough, boy. You got Carl Kenny, you got the whole thing. They got us on Comstat. Yeah, you standing up there, you can't come up there with your stuff not right. Yeah,
right.
They're looking at your statistics. You know, I'm trying to work on Amsterdam.
You
know what I'm saying?
I get it now.
You're juking the numbers.
What are you doing, buddy?
He will. What you say? Yeah. You gotta sit him down and say, "Yo, man, I'm just a gangster, I suppose." I want my corner.
Hey,
as you can tell, this show is gonna be full of wire references, and from now going forward, because now we're all three in deep, and we're some quoting fools when it comes to quoting movies, rap songs, television shows, cartoons, whatever's worth quoting. You know, anybody that has known us for an extended period of time, knowing we are the quote kings, we'll drop quotes, always appropriately, of course, but we'll drop quotes at any given moment. You know, and only the other cats in the room that know us will know what's going on. And you'll see us snickering in the background. And again, if you know any of us, you had an experience with us where we've dropped a quote and a couple of the cats get it. And, you know, we just kind of get that nod and like, yeah, you with me, bro.
I have another announcement.
Run with it.
This is news for you guys too. Just got Eric Hamilton signed up for the next Fantasy Cypher. It'll be coming out next Wednesday. So got that contract signed.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in the studio here in a couple.
You there, brother?
He got excited about it. He must have got his fantasy tip. He's trying to go and change his lineup.
right. We got to check in and see if he's winning his league this year. You know how PAT does with bragging. This cat is the Yasiel Puig of fantasy sports. Brother just be prematurely bragging, you know. Ball ain't going out the park yet. He's celebrating already. But we have a slamming show lined up for you all. You know, this is no 40-degree day radio. How about that? Another wire reference for you out there. No 40-degree day radio right now. So what we have in store for you, this is the portion of the show we call the intro to let them know. I'm going to run through quickly everything we have in store for you tonight, give you a quick rundown of some of the topics we hope to cover. If we get to everything, then we do. If we don't get to everything, then we don't. And it's like that around here. You listen to the Real Sports Guys, Real Sports Guys Radio, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about the top 7 coaching jobs in college football during the Funky Editorial. We're going to give you our bottom 3 of our top 7. So stay tuned for that. We'll also kind of lay out, each of us will lay out our criteria for how we pick schools. We're going to dig in and dig into the NFL action of week 6, recap the games from our 6 in the chamber, update 6 in the chamber standings. So we pick 6 games every week, 4 NFL, 2 college. So we're going to update you on where we are with those, give you our new intel, that new information coming across the RSG desk. What do we now know about the NFL? We drop our impressive performance on you, then hit you with a new 6 in the chamber for week 7. All right? Then we're going to transition into our 5 on the black-hand side, where we're going to give you a plethora of topics that we're going to cover. Might hit you up with Drake's new album, give you some perspective on that. Give some Wire season 3 highlights from PhD. Talk about Jadeveon Clowney and his stock right now and where it is and where he projects going forward as an NFL prospect. MLB playoffs, of course, we're going to touch on that. And then we're going to hit you off with some NCAA football. Talking about the BCS standards are going to be coming out soon. Who outside of the SEC is going to fill one of those spots? We all know the SEC is going to have a squad in. That's just the way the BCS works. All right, SEC is going to have a spot in the BCS title game. We're going to see who else might slide into that second spot, whether it's Oregon, Clemson, or Ohio State, or somebody else. If we have any, that's not even on our radar right now. So we're going to get into all of that tonight. Again, hang on. We got 90 minutes of funk for you. We're going to jump into it right now with the funky editorial. Let's go.
Fellas, only one thing we need to say. Shall we say it, y'all? Melvin,
right.
Jimmy,
right.
Coleman, Ryan,
say
it. Everybody want to get funky one more time.
This is the funky editorial. We are going to break down our top 7 coaching jobs in college football. Now, tonight we're going to give you our bottom 3, 7, 6, and 5 of each of our lists. Now, before we get into that, first, let's talk about some of the criteria that we chose
that we chose to use to kind of create our list. I'm going to start with my man D. Wills. D. Wills, can you tell me a little bit about your process? You know, he has these processes and this vetting system that he goes through anytime we do a list. Can you explain that to us, D. Wills? Let us behind the curtain.
Well, you know, what I tried to look at, and I'm glad we're talking about how to, and this, you know, I had to really start to build my filter. And I started with a couple of things I think are important. I looked at the element of tradition. And tradition, if it's well couched, provides you access to things that other folks can't get access to. It allows you to recover in ways that you can leverage. And so that has to be a factor. Recruiting history, your ability to attract the talent you need to succeed. And I didn't say top talent, because some of the teams that I'm having here that are great jobs, they have a way in which they recruit that allow for them to compete. But they might not, some of them might not necessarily be, someone that just sitting on the outside of my top seven, might not necessarily always rank in the top five in recruiting, but they can still win. They understand who they are. Realistic expectations from fans. This is an important feature to me about having a quality coaching job. And realistic expectations from experts, whether it's local media and other folks, about what that job means and what success in that job means. And the other thing I think is important is facilities, kind of budget, and that whole kind of thing that you can sell. So those are some of the things that I brought into my equation when putting together my top jobs.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, you talked about the realistic fan expectations. Why don't you dig into that a little bit more? What were you thinking about? What sparked you to go in that direction?
Let me take a job that most people would have in their top seven that I don't have in my top seven. Let's take Notre Dame. You know, the fans, and they've had some success in recent years, but they don't really. I mean, the expectations at Notre Dame based on where they can actually compete from year to year. I mean, Notre Dame's got expectations like Alabama fans. They know where near Alabama. And on championship day, you saw the difference. So, you know, part of that to me is not, you know, it's ranked always as a top job. But when you put all the factors together, you know, being in the middle of, you know, Indiana, I'm not going to knock my people in the Midwest, you know, living on 1980s, 90s kind of expectation, and if you really want to go back to 1940s, in a way that doesn't realize who you can actually go after. They've had some success in recent years, but it's not a sustainable model given who they are, right? And so I think Notre Dame is a great example of, not that you shouldn't have expectations, but their expectations are like their USC. And they're not. Their expectations should be, we can compete every 4 years probably for a national championship, but not every year, right? But fans at Notre Dame, I think they can compete every year.
Okay. All right. I want to shift gears. PhD, I want to bring you in, and I want you to talk about kind of your criteria as you develop your list. What were some of the key factors you considered?
Location. First of all, history. History did play, I would say, you know, when I broke down my criteria, history was about 20 to 25%. And when I started my rankings, I only had it at 10%. But listening to Devon's rationale and also just kind of thinking through it the past 2 weeks, I bumped it up to 20 to 25% in the three iterations that I did. The thing that carried the most weight was location and fertile recruiting ground. And the thing about location that goes with the fertile recruiting ground is, what other big dogs do you have to compete with? So, for example, if you look at Wisconsin, Wisconsin is it in the state of Wisconsin in terms of Division I football. It is. And they're also probably the biggest draw to kids that grow up in Some of the other states nearby, such as the Dakotas, some could argue Minnesota, where, you know, they're kind of the place to go, even though those schools, in Minnesota's case, you know, does have a Division I football program. But Wisconsin didn't make my top seven because I don't see Wisconsin as a top 5 to 7 state in terms of high school football talent. But other schools in my top seven do have that, and they have limited, if no real competition in terms of in-state rivals. So those are the things that really went into my criteria. The other thing I would say, so those three recruiting things took up about 60% of it. The remaining 10 to 20% came into play was pressure and patience of the base. If you're at certain places, I either ranked pretty low or had them out in situations in which the recruiting, the alumni base and the fan base is just unrealistic. They're living on the past. They're expecting, you know, you to win 10 games every year, even though you're not who you are, you know, once were, Notre Dame. And I think those are really tough jobs. And for those reasons, I think some people just don't want to be involved with it.
Okay. Excellent criteria. I'll drop my criteria real quick, and then we're going to get into our bottom seven. Very similar to you guys. I would say, you know, climate, and when I mean climate, I mean fan expectations. The atmosphere around the program, with fan expectations, kind of the buzz of the program. Location was real important. I also brought into conference. As we move towards this playoff system, I think every Power Six conference is not created equally, and I think there are some better situations than others where if you're in this deal, you have a better chance of putting yourself in position to possibly get one of the seeds into the new playoff system or play for a national championship on a year in and year out. Resources, of course, all of the trimmings that come along with a Class A football program, you know, facilities, stadium, you know, all those other things, all the bells and whistles that you look for, and then brand. That's something that I really considered is, you know, when we're talking about the decision-making process of 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, brand is major right now. You know, brand is really important as to how you branded your program and what you've looked for. You know, how do you sell your program to a young kid? So those are some of the things, you know, recruiting ground or you know, you call it having access to a fertile recruiting ground or a hotbed is something I also looked at. So I'm going to start us off and give my bottom three. At number seven, I have Florida State. Right now, I think Florida State is in a great position. Being in the ACC, Miami's building, but Miami's not Miami. Is not the U right now. And so Florida State is kind of the flagship program along with Clemson in the ACC. But the reason I chose Florida State is because of history and tradition, great facilities, and the access to Florida, which we know Florida, Texas, Cali, that's the holy grail right there of football recruiting. You know, you mine those areas and you can come away with, you know, the backups in Florida, Texas, and Cali are going to sun, you know, the starters in other states. So Florida State is coming in number seven for me. Number six on my list, I have Alabama. And what knocked Alabama back for me on my list, it's a great program, great facilities, great tradition, but the expectations. If you look at the history of Alabama coaches, it's either you win big or you flame out. There's really not a whole lot in between. There's really not a whole lot of tolerance for mediocrity, which is fine, but that also means that, you know, you're in the toughest conference in the country, and there are going to be times where you fall back to the pack. Right now, they're out in front. They're the hot name in that league, but for a minute, Florida was a hot name for 4 or 5 years. Before that, LSU was the hot name for 4 or 5 years. So it switches. You know, who knows if a program like Tennessee will ever come back? That's a tough league to win in year in and year out, but the expectation at Alabama is that they're going to do that. So that's why I have them at number six. because I think the expectations of that job can sometimes get to that unrealistic point, because football is life. College football is life in that state. There is there's no pro team. There's no professional sports, period. So, you know, the Tide are the big show. And the Auburn Tigers, you know, I think they would probably be 1A in that state, but the Tide are the big show. And because of that, you know, everything you do gets scrutinized. Every move you make, every recruit you don't get, people are talking about. So that's my number six job. My number five job is USC, University of Southern California. This has location, access to fertile recruiting grounds, great facilities, great history. And the only thing that I think holds USC back, and the only reason I don't have them higher, is because of the conference that they play in. That the Pac-12 is becoming a bear of a conference right now. When you talk about Oregon, University of Washington is coming back, resurrecting themselves. Arizona State can be a solid. UCLA is coming back. Stanford has established themselves as a power. Oregon is a beast. So, again, that whole situation as far as continuing to be able to win going forward, you know, as a potential coach, that's something that I think you really want to consider is, what are my chances of really being able to kind of year in, year out, put myself in the conversation? Having those other teams in your conference definitely boosts the status of your conference, but it also makes it really difficult to come out with one or two losses in a given season. So that's why I have USC at number five. Any questions, qualms, issues around my list from the other two-thirds of the illustrious three-man booth?
I would say that I'll get my list together. But I think I understand what you said about USC and Alabama, but I think that has a lot to do, and I'll talk about this more later, with who you gotta hire somebody who's used to riding thoroughbreds. And where they made mistakes is when they hire people who are used to driving buggies. And person they hired, everybody around them knew that was a buggy driver, but the people who hired them. But whenever they've ever hired a thoroughbred driver, they've dominated and mastered that. So a lot of it has to do with that program has less to do with who the coach is. It's about people forgetting the kind of coach they need to win in those programs versus some other situations that I probably would have equally agreed with you about. That most people might have these programs as high jobs, but for all the things I said, they're not. But those two programs are programs that I might have had a little higher, even given all of that you said.
Okay, fair enough. Any other criticisms?
The Florida State one, we're going to probably speak about the same thing. I agree with you on Florida State.
Okay, all right. I want to bring in, pull in PhD, and let's get your bottom three, bro.
So honorable mention, Michigan and Nebraska were my honorable mentions. They were the ones that were on the outside looking in. And I had a really hard time, but I grew up a Michigan fan. It was painful. I was thinking about it all day yesterday. Well, not really. I thought about it for 2 or 3 minutes. But I felt a little guilty. but... You know, I'm trying to be as objective as possible, and unfortunately they just don't have it what they had in the 80s and 90s. So, number seven, and I may shock the world with this one, Boise State. I think however long my list was, 7, 10, 15, 20, Boise State was going to be the last team on that list. And I feel that any list should include, or at least any list of mine, is going to include a homer, some kind of anomaly. And the reason I think that Boise State is one of the top jobs in the country is because Chris Peterson has created this program where before he got there, they were just, you know, vying to try to win their conference each year. just trying to be relevant in their conference. And he found a way to find kids to come to Boise, Idaho. You know, he's getting 3-4-star recruits every year. And these are things that teams in the Big Ten, you know, that aren't your traditional powers have struggled with. These are teams in the Pac-10 have struggled with. And I think the other part of this job is kind of what Brad Stevens had at Butler, that the expectations of your fan base are a lot more realistic. Sure, you may not be making $5 or $6 million a year like Nick Saban is, but you're making $2 million a year at Boise State. Now, every college football job has pressure, but relative, I see it as a dream job, and I think that's one of the reasons why he hasn't left for greener pastures yet. I mean, we'll see how much longer he can hold off. Number six, again, might shock the world here, but it's Penn State.
Oh, my goodness.
Obviously, they have went through, to say the least, hard times in the last couple of years of the Jerry Sandusky situation, the cover-up and everything else. But that's not the first thing you think of when you hear about Penn State now. Regardless if you're at an academic conference, if you're talking to somebody who said they went to Penn State, during that whole fiasco, Penn State football did not even have to be mentioned, but that was the thing you thought about. We're only a few years removed. I believe this is only the second full season this, you know, since this has happened, like, come to light. And for the most part, this is kind of off the radar. It's no longer a story in sport in terms of it. You hear Penn State and you automatically think about that situation. You know, obviously the situation is still very relevant, but to me that tells me, only being 2 years removed, that they're going to be back, you know, in terms of recruiting top classes pretty soon. I mean, they had a really good class this past year. And, you know, the reason I think Penn State was always very competitive during the paternal years, one of the reasons is their location. Pennsylvania, consensus, you know, I mean, the consensus of high school football in Pennsylvania is top five in the country. They own that state in terms of recruiting. Pittsburgh has become more relevant, but they're still little brother in terms of recruiting in that state. And if you look at powerful East Coast, Northeast football programs, they're it. They are it. So if you have a kid who wants to stay close to home and they're from the East Coast or Pennsylvania, Penn State has the inside track almost in every situation. So for that reason, I think Penn State is one of the top seven jobs in the country. Number five, Alabama. And for all the reasons you mentioned, Marcus, is the reason why a school like Alabama isn't at the top of my list. I believe that the expectations for them, They're just off the chart. For the most part during my lifetime, Alabama has not been a powerhouse. But the expectation for Alabama to be a powerhouse has always been there. And so during the years where you're going 8-3, 7-4, 9-3, that was not enough for their fan base. That it just wasn't. And I don't see Alabama, the state of Alabama, as being a huge talent area in terms of high school football. Great high school football there. You know, they have a lot of talent there, but they're always bucking head with Auburn for those kids. Maybe not now because of what Alabama's doing, three championships the last 4 years, but I don't think that, I mean, obviously that's not going to continue. And I think once they cool off of the national scene, they're going to have a tougher time recruiting all the South like they're doing. So that's my bottom seven. Boise State at seven, Penn State at six, Alabama at five. The other reason I'll say, the last thing about reason about Alabama is that's not a job I'd want to walk into with Bear Bryant being there, with Nick Saban being there. You know, we had Bill Curry on the program a year or two ago, and he talked briefly about that, just how tough it was to be at Alabama when your name was not Bear Bryant. So it's I think that's a tough job to have when you don't come in and win right away.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think when you follow a great coach, it's really tough. Because anything that you want to do different than that last guy is going to get questioned. And people are going to say, well, we did it that way and we won. And now you want us to do it different? You know, like that way works. Bear Bryant's way, Nick Saban's way works. So don't come in here upsetting the apple cart, you know. So I think that I agree with you. I think that makes it tough. The one that kind of gets me, that, you know, is, for me, is Boise. I like the part about, like, Chris Peterson can stay in Boise as long as he wants to. I think for any coach, job security is probably one of the most important things. When you're thinking about a job, it's probably one of the most important things. I think the thing with Boise is that it was a hot name for a while. But I don't know if as a program, it's a hot program. Chris Peterson made that program. It's very similar to, you know, some of the basketball coaches who have taken programs and who that were nothing and built them up to a brand. But now, if Chris Peterson leaves, I have a hard time believing Boise has a system in place to continue to have the same kind of success that it's had. If that name coach bucks, if he leaves town, does Boise have the infrastructure, the culture, the climate, the recruiting connections to continue to win? That's why I consider Boise as an honorable mention, just because their brand is so strong. But that was one of the things that kind of kept them off my list, was that I kind of felt that, you know, it was very, that their success was very coach dependent. Like, they got the right guy at the right time, and they were the right program, and he was able to grab a hold of that, brand it, and really sell it to kids. Whereas I don't know if there are a lot of people who can do that.
The thing about Boise is that they have the underdog label, and you always have people pulling for the little guy. Now, 18-year-old kids trying to decide where they're going to go to school at, that probably doesn't hold a lot of weight. But when you think about the community support and the regional support, and if you are a person who values security but still has that, like, you still need your ego to be stroked. You still need to be treated like a Nick Saban, like a god. But at the same time, have perspective to know that you value job security more than, you know, getting the job at Alabama. I think it's a good fit. It really is, especially if you want to be somewhere for a while. But at the same time, you probably won't be. I think we've seen the ceiling for Boise State in terms of being competitive for a national championship.
Right.
And if you're not okay with that as a coach, it's probably not the best job for you.
Agreed. And I think that's where my I don't know if it's, you know, a sustainable model. They're like a person who put out a good album, but I don't know if they're here for the long run. and the people who are going to go for that job are now at North Dakota State, right? And so I don't know, you know, if you leave Virginia, you know, people can make it. Virginia might be a better job than Boise. And so that part, I think it's a good situation for the right person, but I don't know if it's one of those top jobs. That's what the problem I probably have, the one is the Penn State one. The one I'm stuck with. But I don't know if Penn State is a top three job in the Big Ten. You know, the Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State, I mean, I think those are all, you think about facilities, and it's about who you recruit. Do you have a model for winning? Michigan has been in the top five in recruiting forever. You know, they had their lean years with Rodriguez. They got everything you need. They can go into Pennsylvania and out-recruit Penn State.
That'll be my biggest argument.
That's my biggest
argument why Michigan is not a big-time job, because they are They are always in the top five, but for some reason they never get it done.
But that goes back to expectations. At Michigan, if you win the Big Ten championship, compete for a national championship, people aren't asking you to be Alabama and Michigan. They're not asking you to do that. If you just compete for the Big Ten, did Bo ever win a national championship? And they love him.
Yeah, I don't think we'd love Bo in 2013 if his career started now and he did what he did over the course of 20 years.
I think Penn State
in 5 years. I'll give it to you right now. Yes, they may not be the second or third best job in the Big Ten, but in 5 years, I think they will be. I think they will be back on a national stage.
That's questionable. I'm very questionable. Penn State is very questionable. I don't put it over Ohio State. I wouldn't put it over Wisconsin. But it's your list. I don't know if I put it over Michigan State.
Today or in 5 years?
In 5 years, State's been competing. I mean, I love Penn State. I think they got a great thing. I think their fans are sometimes the most unrealistic.
The thing about Michigan is if Michigan was located where Penn State is, first of all, they wouldn't be called Michigan. I get
that's
that.
That's right.
Just put that on out there. I don't call
people
listen to the podcast. But
right. If
everything was constant, if everything was the same, and they didn't have to compete with Notre Dame for recruiting, they didn't have to recruit with Michigan State in-state, they didn't have to recruit with Ohio State, Michigan is no longer
a national
winning. Like they're no longer winning national recruiting, and they're no longer winning in-state and regional recruiting. They're not.
They're winning that right now. They have said a new coach and they're already in top five in recruiting. They're winning battles already right now. I mean, the fan base isn't going to kill them if they don't win a national championship every year.
Yeah. Brady won't be there. If Brady has the same years that he's had his past three, for the next three, he won't be there.
But how is that different? He won 11 straight games. How is that different than Penn State fans? And I think he's realistically got a chance to do that more than I would say Penn State. Especially with Ohio
State. This is the angle I take with Penn State is saying that because Penn State is where it is, you're going to get a longer lease as a coach. So if this job opens up, you want to take it because they're going to give you time. They're glad to have somebody at Penn State because of where they've been the last couple of years. So you're going to have time as a coach. There's some security in that they're going to work with you. They're going to help you build it up because they know some of the restraints you're going to be working under.
Who signed up when that job opened up? People ran
nobody.
The other way.
Nobody, because nobody wanted to be the guy after Paterno, and nobody wanted to be the guy to guide them through the scandal. That's why I say in five years, I think that they'll be okay. Now,
but before Paterno retired, that wasn't the top job. Penn State was like Notre Dame in my mind sometimes. I'm just talking before he retired.
Let me ask you. The 5 years before Paterno retired, did you see Penn State as a top 20 program, a top 20 job?
I saw them as a top 20 job, maybe right around the bottom part of that 20, because they had expectations like Notre Dame. They're the independent. They were smart enough to decide to get into a conference, but they had unrealistic expectations. I just felt like Penn State fans did, but maybe I might be missing, so I'm leaving it alone. But I would say this.
I would have had them as a top five program, or not top five, but a top 20 program. I would have them for sure. A top 20 for sure, easy.
Yeah,
that's easy. That's an easy call for me. Top seven is debatable, and that's obviously what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave it alone. I'm sure I'm going to touch some nerves.
You know, Captain Obvious, my bad. I had to go Captain Obvious for a second. My fault.
And let me check before I start getting a ton of texts and emails tomorrow. Michigan probably is winning in-state. They probably are winning in-state. But it's not like 20 years ago where they were getting – you know, if they target the top 10 kids in Michigan, if they were getting 8 or 9 of them, I think now they might be getting 4, like 5 or 6 of them. And Michigan State are getting the rest in terms of the top kids in Michigan that stay in state. You know, I think it's a lot closer to 50-50 than it was 15 years ago between Michigan State and Michigan. But, yes, Michigan is probably still winning over Michigan State in terms of in-state recruiting. But I would say on a regional standpoint, they're losing out to Notre Dame. And Notre Dame's philosophy, if you look what Kelly has done, because think about it, Kelly was at Cincinnati. Before that, he was at Grand Valley State, which is Division II power in Michigan, around Grand Rapids. Kelly has not taken a national approach to recruiting. He has tried to win. Yes, he has got some kids, you know, nationally, not in the Midwest. But for the most part, he has focused his recruiting in the Midwest. And he's been freezing out some of these other schools, man. Michigan, in my opinion, is losing sometimes to Michigan State in recruiting. I think right now the vast majority of time they're losing to Notre Dame and they're losing to Ohio State.
You know why? Because their country is a place. They're number 6 right now. They're number 6 right now. Notre Dame's 12.
Yeah,
I mean,
they've been
in the top because they recruit nationally. They don't have to just win battles in Michigan. They win them in California. They win them in Texas. They win some. I mean, there are certain teams that they're recruiting. Is a national recruiting. They play where they need to play, but they get the best talent they can get. Look at the number of top 100 players they get. They're in the top. They're number 6 right now.
I think Michigan will always do well in recruiting because even when you lose to Notre Dame and you lose to Ohio State, you still beat 95% of the country. I mean, I'll give you that. I think Michigan is.
But Notre Dame's number 12. Ohio State's number 9. That's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to use the number. That's all I know. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they should be the number 1 job. I'm not saying that. But they at least a top 7.
So, Devon, trending. I mean, think about it. When Trussell was there for the 8, 9, 10 years he was there, they lost in terms of recruiting. And Urban Meyer, considering Urban Meyer's been there for a year and a half, and he ain't lost. So, in what direction?
He losing something. He had number 9. He losing something.
Okay, Devon, they were on probation. I'm talking about looking big picture, 5-year projection. What trend do you see in terms of Ohio State recruiting? Do you see them staying at number 9? Do you see them going lower, or do you see them winning?
What do you see at Michigan? Hope has already turned around in 1 year. I'm saying he's already turned it around. I don't understand what the bias is with Michigan. It's the same thing as Ohio State.
Marcus, I need for your answer. Marcus, can you answer two questions for me?
Yeah, okay, I got
Marcus, what city is the University of Michigan in?
Ann Arbor.
What city is Devon from?
Ann Arbor.
Thank you. We can move on.
Hold on. I got a drop for that. I have a drop for that. He hit you with one of these, Devon.
Aha. And I will ask all our listeners to Google the top coaching jobs, and you won't find a list that won't have Michigan in the top 7. From anybody, for a lot of people who are earning from the Midwest, who will rank and have them in the top 7. Google them. Don't trust me. Go out and look.
I want winners.
ESPN. You won't have a list that won't have them in the top 7. And some of those people are from Florida.
So Devon, Michigan was number 8 on my list. I agree with you to a large extent.
But you have a lot of folks who won't have Penn State. I'm not arguing Ohio State. I'm arguing Penn State. That's all I'm saying.
Right now, if I was a coach, I would take the Michigan job over the Penn State job right now. No question. You toss a coin 100 times, 50 times is going to be head, roughly 50 times is going to be tails. But guess what? 100 out of 100 times today, I'm taking that Michigan job. If both of them are open and both of them offer. In 5 years, though, I think Penn State is going to be back where they were. And if I'm thinking about a program that I can build in terms of location, support, I'm picking Penn State. I am, based on their historical value and just knowing I'm going to be able to win in Pennsylvania and the East Coast. That's
they
my
are
approach.
Who we thought they were.
All right. We said it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let your people speak for me. I'm going to leave it alone. Your text message is about to erupt. I'm going
to
let your people speak for me. I'm done. I'm going
to
let them do my talking.
We're going to have to take this to the street. It's going to be some smoke in the city.
I want to keep it rolling, though. You listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio, holding it down for you. We're going to transition and get into recapping the action, the Week 6 action from the NFL.
Do I have to do my top three? Because I did mess with
oh,
it.
Oh,
I got
oh, my bad,
shot.
My bad.
Because you know, he waved the wings like, he waved the wings, he's trying to make it to that no mosh. You're going 30 for 30 now.
All right, D. Will, jump in. You got your bottom three. This is your bottom three, 7 through 5.
My bottom three. At 7, for the same reasons that y'all raised about Alabama, I have LSU. And the reason why is LSU's got everything you want, recruiting everything else, but them fans, I still don't like Les Miles. Anybody who can give you as much as he's giving you, and you still don't like him, I got to drop you just on
Pete. He's grad.
He's eating grad. So what? When you win as much as he can win, you should be bringing buckets of glass so he don't have to bend down to pick it up. You should be just giving him have a little push bucket or something, so just make it easy on him. You should have a stand where he can just reach over and grab the glass so he don't have to get himself dirty. So I got LSU there. At 6, I have Florida State. I think for all the reasons y'all said, I think they have fertile recruiting ground. Their atmosphere, I talked about the stadiums. You know, both Tiger Stadium, Bobby Bowden Field at Dope Campbell is an incredible place to work. And when they get it rolling, they're in a conference that they can own, really. I think they got some other great teams there, but I think if Florida State is at the level it's at, it can own that conference and be in the running for national championships, just on location, talent, tradition, all the things I said. Number 5, and a lot of this is because they're kind of the new money. They didn't need money. They just now broke their Rose Bowl 95-year drought. They own the marketing and branding game. They're like the dot-com football team. And now we're just seeing whether or not it was Chip Kelly or it's something that's going to be part of their tradition. But I think Oregon, for all those reasons, is a great job. I got them at number 5. Like I said, they're new money right now. So you never know how new money going to act when it got money. You know, you don't know. They haven't quite moved to that expectation. You know, if the market get a little tough, they might panic and sell stock. So I'm not sure about them, but I love them as a program. And I would say, you know, depending on if they can get that elusive national championship, if they can continue that success, they're the kind of program I think would bump higher up because I think even though they don't have that recruiting fertile ground, they got something that young people like. They've done a good job of creating that brand of a place where you want to play.
Yeah, and see, that's where I flip it a little bit, flip your analogy of the .com a little bit. Boise to me is the .com. You know, that's the first version. That's the first big boom of a kind of a out of nowhere thing. Boise is the .com. Oregon is
Patriot. I got four of my boxing gloves in here.
See, game changer was
me. Oregon is Facebook. Me, Oregon is Facebook. Oregon took that Boise template. Oregon took the Boise template and poured gasoline on it. You know what I'm saying? They took the Boise template and poured crunk juice on it and turned it way up and took it to another level. So.
See, you're hiding in the wings, man. And then you let me go out here battling this kid. You hit all this stuff. It put me against a fellow Michigan guy. It felt like we were just arguing. We both love baseball, but we argued. You said in the wings, holding on to that one. I love it.
Hey, man, it's chess, not checkers.
Right. Rogers sold drugs to kids. Chess, not checkers.
Right. Yes, sir.
What movie was that?
Say it again.
What movie was that?
The quote. Not the movie. The quote. Roger sold drugs to kids.
What movie is that from?
Oh, I'm like, that's right at the top of my head. I cannot believe it.
Wow.
Like,
wow, you guys are losing credibility like I am with Boise State right now. Wow.
I know. You hear me on the whole that, you know, my mind is cloudy right
now.
Wow.
Wow. Roger sold drugs to kids. It's Chess, not Checkers.
That's right. Yes.
Wow. We're going to go to a commercial break. Wow. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
All right, man, we back, man. I still don't know why Roger sold drugs. What am I missing, man? What am I missing?
Wow.
Is it going to smack me over the head once you give it to me?
Yeah, it will. And I almost don't even want to. Wow.
You got to say it now.
Wow. Open your eyes, son. Can't you see? That man was your friend, and you killed him like a fly. Why is he my friend? Because he knows my first name? Roger sold dope to kids. The world's a better place without him. This man was a major violator in Los Angeles. This is a game. I'm playing with your beat. That's my job. That's your job. I watched that blank operate in impunity over 10 years, and now I got him. This beat is Chess. It ain't Checkers.
Man, I'm McCullers?
Menace Society.
Wow.
Hey, Menace Society.
Training day, guys. Training day. Roger.
Oh.
Free dog, breathe.
That's right.
You had me hot
on that Michigan thing, man. I couldn't even come back.
I should have got that. That's the L on my part.
I
deserve one of these.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
you smoke crack, don't you?
That's what
you smoke crack,
exactly.
Don't you?
That's how I feel right now. It's one of those days, y'all. We will pull it back together.
Yeah, we will get it back together, man. We'll get it back together right now.
I will say that, Phil, you have a way of doing this with these lists. with the top rap song, you have a way of adding that thing to the list that throws us off. And I'm looking for it. You come out of left field on it.
I'll give you the Boise State is like having a coin that's gold plated, but it's not gold. I'll give it to you. And I'll also give you that the Penn State is a stretch.
And this is part of the Penn State. I probably wouldn't have had a problem if you would have had Michigan at 7 and Penn State at, you know, whatever. I mean, they're both on the list, and we could have argued about that. That would have, with Boise as the honorable mention. I might not even, I would have said, man, I would have had that higher up on the list.
So when you had Boise on there and Penn State, I was like, hold up.
So, but you amazed me. You bring the rationale. I was trying to follow the logic. I was following it. So you never cease amazing with the list. I love these lists.
Hey, and PAZ, this is all I got to say about your Boise pick, man.
It's Division I football. Don't play intramurals, brother.
And Game Changer was trying to be nice and polite. I could see that. He was trying to look at it from crazy angles and say stuff back, and then he came back with the left hook. He was like, my preacher man, people listen to me.
You know, I caught him with his hands down. I caught him with his hands down coming off the break.
You should have
protect yourself at all times. Protect yourself at all times.
My first run. You should have saw my first run through the list. My first iteration. I had Alabama below Penn State, and I said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You
gonna have some explaining to do.
Right.
You gonna have some explaining to do. All right, fellas. Let's keep it rolling. We gotta talk to NFL football. That was a great conversation. Listen to the Real Sports Guys. RealSportsGuys.com. RSG. Renegade Radio. We're going to get into our Week 6 NFL recap. So let's go ahead and get it jumping, fellas. All right, we got to do this one quick and dirty. So every week, we pick some games. We pick six games. We call it our six in the chamber. All right? We got our six games from last week. Whew, man, it was a rough week for the Game Changer. We had New Orleans versus New England. We had Green Bay versus Baltimore, Arizona versus San Francisco, Dallas versus the Washington racial slurs. we had Oregon Ducks versus the Washington University Huskies, and LSU. Who did LSU play last week? I don't even know. We all picked LSU anyway, so we all got a W on that one. Oregon and Washington. Me and Devon went with Oregon. PhD took the L, picking Washington. PhD and Devon took Dallas. I took Washington Redskins, the Washington racial slurs, and I lost there. Me and PhD went Arizona versus San Francisco. All I'm trying to say is D-Wills went 6-0 last week, y'all. D-Wills wow.
went 6-0.
Round of applause. Round of applause, folks. Round of applause.
Studio audience.
I'm bowing, folks.
Studio audience, clap it up, D-Wills.
D-Wills.
Right. Round of applause. David, make it clap.
He went 6-0. PhD picked up a game on me going 4-2, and I went a lowly 3-3. A 500 week for one of us is bad, all right? That's unacceptable. That's a 40-degree day, right? That's
right.
A 40-degree day. Don't nobody talk about 3-3. Ain't nobody talking about 3-3. You know, cats go 6-0. Supposed to get the barbecue on and everything.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
But ain't nobody celebrating 3-3. So right now, our six in the
Listen,
chamber standings look a little something
practice.
Like this.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
Yes, we are. Right now, my man D. Wills is running away with it. He's up three games on me and PhD. He's at 26-10. Last week he put some distance on us. Me and PhD are in a tie at 23-13 each. So we got to step it up this week. Let's get into the games though. All right, so that's where we sit in our standings. Let's talk about these games. The first game I want to get to: New England versus New Orleans. A barn burner. Came down to a last-second drive orchestrated by Tom Brady. He hits Kimbrell Tompkins in the end zone for a touchdown with 5 seconds to go on the clock. These are two of the best teams in the league, obviously. They battled each other. The first thing when I'm talking about this, I want to focus on New England and what they've done out there. Brady and Belichick seem to just continue to get it done.
Brady, of all of the great quarterbacks, and we have this conversation about greatest quarterbacks ever, Brady's name is going to be brought up. And if you look at his supporting cast for most of his career, there's really no reason he should be in the conversation based upon who he's played with.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys disagree with that, but I just feel like he just hasn't had the tools. When you talk about Montana having a Jerry Rice, when you talk about Brett Favre having a litany of receivers that have come through Green Bay, from Sterling Sharp to Robert Brooks, Antonio Freeman, all really solid, really, really solid, the great receivers. Dan Marino had the Marks, Super Duper, Mark Clayton. He had those guys. Elway, he had the was it Three Amigos? Is that what they was called? Back in the day. So all those guys had receiving cores that were elite. At some point, their receiving core was amazing. You'd never give anybody other than the year he had Moss, the year and a half where he had a right Randy Moss, would you ever give a nickname to any of Brady's receiving cores? So how does he keep doing it? PhD, how does Tom Brady keep doing it? It's a Michigan guy.
Oh, Michigan guy? That's for Devon. You can handle that, Devon.
You got it, D.
You know, he's a Michigan man, you know. No, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, I heard Floyd Mayweather say, you know, the reason why he's able to do what he's able to do is he always enters the gym like it's the first time, like he has nothing. And there's something about elite players where they have the ability, regardless of all the luxuries around them and everything else, they have the ability in some way in their mind to take themselves back to the beginning to a 0-0. And part of that just is fear of failing. And when you talk to Tom Brady or you hear him on interviews and things like that, he has such a fear that I think that was driven from his early days. I think sometimes he still sees himself as that six-round draft pick. And it keeps him on edge. And I think that's been the secret for Belichick's success, that no matter what they put around him, he has the same conductor. That this is a guy that's bright, has a great IQ. He has the ability to get his teammates around him to play. He has a competitive instinct, even though he doesn't always have the great physical attributes. You know, people just believe in him. And I just think that when he goes up against other people, he just competes, and he takes his game to another level. It's surprising that the one person that's probably had his number, Super Bowl, is Eli. But it's one of those things that just drives him, and I think he just enters every game every day not worried about his where he fits in history. He just thinks about winning. He was just talking about that last night before the Monday Night Football game. It was just his approach is he's not thinking about interceptions and things like that. He's thinking about what it takes to win. He's not thinking about patent stats and history. He just cares about winning. And I think, you know, you just in the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, the proof is definitely in the pudding. They're 5-1, possibly getting Gronk back. What do you think about this Gronk situation, PhD? You know, the guy. There's whispers coming out of the locker room that guys are mad because Gronk is practicing and killing them in practice, but then he's not able to play in games. How do you feel about that?
I go back and forth on that. I really do, because at one point I think he needs to look out for self, especially when he's already had multiple surgeries, the team physician, and he's getting criticized for getting a second opinion. He's getting criticized for not playing because he's not 100% confident, you know, with his body and the ability not to get hurt again. These are all just, like, we don't know what's going on. And this is why I think the Patriots will always be relevant when Belichick is there. You don't get quotes. You get hints and whispers, but you don't get quotes. And so at the end of the day, Gronk's going to come back, and the Patriots are going to be relevant. Right now they're 5-1. They're one of the best teams in football. And when they do get Gronk back, watch out. Watch out. The way that their defense is playing, I think when Brady gets another weapon, they're going to be fine. I don't think this is Derrick Rose. It's not. I don't like the comparisons that people have tried to make to kind of link the situation with Derrick Rose.
Okay. Yeah, and that's where I kind of, you know, you got to let guys come back when they're ready. You know, you always hit the old adage that 90% of the game is mental, 10% physical. And if a guy is mentally, if his mind is not mentally on going out and competing full blast, full out, then he needs to get to that space before he, especially in a sport like football, that is so physical. You got to get in that space before you step on the court, point blank, period. So that's how I feel about that. Another game I wanted to touch on before we move on and get into some of the other pieces of our recap, Dallas versus Washington. The Washington racial slurs is what I will forever call them from now on. How can we begin to really think about where this season is going for the Washington franchise? You know, things just seem out of whack. D. Wills, you want to take a stab at explaining what's going on in Washington?
I mean, it started from how they handled McNabb. You know how I feel about the Shanahans. They just have not, you know, Mike Shanahan, I'm going to say this in the nicest way, you know, built a lot of his career on Elway. If you think about post-Elway, I mean, he's done some great things, but post-Elway, he's had his struggles, to say the least. And they have never just been on the same page. They are the opposite of New England. Everything is aired. RG3 is everywhere. I just think that they need to get control of that house, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, ownership that, you know, wants to be on the field, as Suge used to say, wants to be all in the video. You know, they got all that kind of stuff going on. And that doesn't lead to win. Team that wins, the owner, you hardly ever know who the owner is. And so it's just hard to know who's in charge sometimes. And RG3 always looks like he's running for president. They just need to dial him down. They need to figure out what their next move is going to do and really start to prepare for next season.
Okay. And then there's the Dallas piece. And Dallas is Jekyll and Hyde, like nobody's business. This is a squad that is very talented, but you just don't know what you're going to get on a night-in, night-out basis, which really makes it difficult to gauge what this team is going to be. I mean, and it starts with the quarterback. You know, Romo snaps out one week and is just okay the next week. And you just quite don't know what you're going to get with him night in and night out, week in, week out. So, but Dallas right now is sitting in the catbird seat in that division at 3-3. You know, it's interesting. A lot of the national pundits were high on that division, and I think most of us felt like that was going to be a pretty mediocre division. And it's played out as such. And no one, I think, none of us predicted that the Giants would be as bad. But the Eagles are decent. The Redskins are, you know, about where we thought they would be with RG3 coming back. You know, we all, I think, kind of concede it's going to take some time for RG3 to get back to being the dynamic force that he was before. And then there's Dallas, who, you know, PhD and I were definitely out on, but you were definitely in on, D-Wills. So
that's right.
You know, you got some props to collect on the Dallas pick right now. But, you know, Dallas is going to do what Dallas is going to do, and Romo going to Romo. So we're going to see how that one ends up. You might not want to get it going too quick. You might want to fall back for a little bit, lay in the cut for a moment.
Right. Fell high.
That Romo's going to Romo is you know, that's a high position to go after. It's got too much evidence behind it.
Yeah, man. There's a lot. There's a heavy data set behind that claim. I want to get into new intel and impressive performance. I want to go through these quick and dirty so we can get into our picks for next week because we're heading out towards the end of the show. So, new intel, PhD. What new information you got from last week?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Reaffirmed everything you believed.
Yeah, nothing.
All right. D. Wills, what you got last week? New intel.
San Francisco is beginning to, you know, round in the shape and start to stabilize. You know, we're not sure. I mean, for a while we thought they were spiraling, but they began to try to right the ship.
Okay. And the one I have is Houston, we have a problem. Things have gone way left in H-Town. I mean, you're talking about a team that at the beginning of the season we were talking about Super Bowl contention, and now they're in a bad spot. I mean, they're in a bad spot, losing four straight games after starting 2-0. Quarterback is out for, you know, the foreseeable future right now. And you have a backup situation that is not ideal. It doesn't instill confidence in anybody in that locker room. That's trouble right there. That's trouble right there. For a franchise whose window of opportunity was already tenuous, the window was small as guys start to age out in that franchise. When you talk about on the offensive side, Arian Foster and Andre Johnson kind of getting up there in years, they weren't going to be an elite offense for long. The defense is kind of on the other side of the coin where they're young. They're getting after, but if the NFL doesn't tell you anything, if you don't got a quarterback, you ain't got a chance. And that's just the way it goes. So impressive performance, fellas. PAZ, who you got for impressive performance from week six?
I'm going to go with Vincent Jackson. Man, this cat just, he shows flashes, but then he doesn't. And I've always been in his camp that it's more of the situation that he's in. It's more of the quarterback. So this past week, caught 9 balls, 140-plus yards, and 2 touchdowns, and he looked like a dominant wide receiver. If Glennon is smart, he will try to get the ball to him as much as the defense allows him to.
All right. We got to vote for Vincent Jackson. D. Wills, your impressive performer from week six.
What I like is, and this is a rookie, and I just want to continue to see him grow, is Lacey. I believe what he had, 120 yards. He averaged about 5.2 yards per carry. But beginning to establish himself in that run game, and I think for Green Bay to be successful over time, when they've been good, they've had this solid run game. And, you know, given the fact that he could have been a much higher draft, it's good to kind of see him beginning to catch some steady on the road at Baltimore to get over 120 yards rushing.
All right. My impressive performer, Cameron Newton, boy balled out, accounted for 4 touchdowns on the day, had a great game against the Minnesota Vikings, really stepped up for that team. They needed a W. They went out and got it on his shoulders. So hats off to Cam Newton. All right. Now I want to get into this week's picks. All right. So for this week, the games we're going to pick. First game we got is Cincinnati at Detroit. D. Wills, who you got?
I'll go. I'm going to go with Cincy.
All right.
I like
Cincinnati. All right. Now, Cincy's been playing well, so I also am going to go Cincy on the road. I think that defense, it travels. That front seven is nasty and makes that secondary average secondary look really good. D. Wills, you back in the house?
Oh, I was yelling Detroit basketball, but I was off air, but I was going Detroit.
Oh, so you got
I was yelling. Right. I was yelling. I thought I was on the air when I was yelling it.
You were just yelling in your basement, man.
I was yelling. My whole neighborhood heard that one, but y'all didn't.
All right,
Detroit.
The next game we got is Denver at Indianapolis. PhD, your pick. Who you got?
I'm going Indy with the home team. in the upset.
Oh, the upset. I'm going Denver. Peyton's going to show out. D-Wheels, who you got?
Best regular season quarterback ever. I'm going Denver.
Here you go with that.
He loses.
Here you go with that mess. Every week, you and this greatest quarterback, regular season quarterback ever. All right. I'll go first with this one. Dallas at Philly. I'm going Philly, man. Nick Foles did a great job of filling in for Mike Vick. I think there may be some issues going forward in Philly with the quarterback controversy. They love that in Philadelphia. They love some controversy. Vick should get the job back. He did nothing to really say that he can't run that system and run it well. But Foles did look good. So, D. Wills, your pick.
Oh, Dallas, wow, this is a tough one. This is a trap game for a team like Dallas who should win this. I'm going with Dallas.
All right. PhD, who you got?
I went back and forth with this one. I'm going to go Philly at home.
All right. So then for our last NFL game, and then we'll get into our two college games, we got Houston trying to get back on track and trying to make something out of the season. You know, if they can get to 3-4, that would be real helpful. They do not want to go 2-5. So they're going into Kansas City, who was undefeated, going into Arrowhead. D. Wills, who you got?
I think Arrowhead has his swagger back. I think Kansas City is going to just – this is going to spiral. I think Kansas City is going to get Houston.
Okay. PhD?
Not so fast, my friend. I'm going Houston on the road, getting the road, like getting the train back on track.
Okay. This one was tough for me, but I'm going to go Kansas City. It's hard to see them at 7-0, but I just think Houston is reeling right now, and not having Schaub. I think, you know, when you're reeling, you need your starter in there. You can't go to the backup and expect them to help you get on track.
Bro,
I just don't think that's going to work well.
Certainly out this week.
I think so. I haven't seen anything definitive, but I don't think he's playing this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come back to me at the end of the show. I need to do a little research here.
Do a little research?
Yeah. All right.
Here are two college games. Well, I'm going to start you off with this college game, and then you can come and then you can go do your research. Our first college game, we got UCLA at Stanford. Pac-12 battle, two ranked teams, two hot teams in the Pac-12. Who you got, PhD?
I'm going with Stanford.
All right. I'm going UCLA in the upset on the road. I'm going big. I'm going big on that one. D-Wills, who you got?
Oh, wow, this is a tough one. I'll go with Stanford at home. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Stanford at home is going to be tough.
All right. And then the next game we got number 5 Florida State at number 3 Clemson. A top 5 battle, ACC showdown. What you got? This is on you, D. Wills. What you got? Oh, sorry. This is my pick first. I'm going with I'm going with Jameis. I'm riding with Jameis Winston on this one. Who you got, D. Wills?
Wow. You picked two good games. I'm going with if this was Bobby Bowden, I had to go with them Seminoles, but I think Clemson at the crib. I'm going with Clemson.
You're going with Dabo.
That's right. I'm going with Dabo. You gotta start talking that junk.
PhD, who you got?
I'm changing the lineup card. I'm gonna go with Kansas City against Houston. Looks like Schaub is very doubtful early in the week. So
all right, I got you. I got that one documented.
And then I'm gonna go with Florida State. I believe the winner of this game plays in a national championship.
Okay. Wow. So you think an ACC team? You think an ACC team gets in over a Pac-12 squad?
Yeah, I think Oregon is going to slip up.
Okay. Big prediction right there. You heard it here first. Well, fellas, we got to pay some bills, and we'll come back with the dog of the week. So let's go ahead and do it.
Now, we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
All right. Resistance Digital Dog of the Week, fellas. We got to get it going. PhD. Man, you heard the man say it before.
We need more dogs.
Continuing with my theme of being coming out from right field or the parking lot in the show, my dog of the week are the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, my goodness.
The Jags were predicted they had the largest spread in NFL history. They were predicted to lose by more than 4 touchdowns, 29 points. And they only lost by 16. I think they showed up. They made it a game in the first half where people were talking about Peyton Manning might not play the whole second half. And to me, they showed some fight. They showed some fight.
I want winners.
So they had
to win the game.
They had a moral victory, like Jerry Jones says. It was
Hello?
A moral victory.
You play to win the game.
We possibly got it today.
Ooh, he gonna be
salty. More victories than for high school sports. When you're getting a check, ain't no more victories.
This is a good one today, boy.
Oh, man. D-Wills, man. Let me. You know how it goes, brother. You know how it goes.
We need more dogs.
This is RSG first. This is a historical moment. Historic moment. I'm going to say the dog of the week is me. Anytime you go 6-0 against these two guys, they're picking games, I might not ever do it again.
Wow.
I'm giving myself the dog of the week.
Okay. Hey. Nice work.
Hey. Yeah, I ain't mad at you. Hey, man, that's
what you want
me to on
say?
The back, y'all still?
What you want me to say? Well, good work.
Well done. Well done. Well done, PhD. Well done. Well done. Effective use. Effective use of wire port right there. Effective use.
Wow,
my dog
the
wire. Week.
No, we got to stop. The wire. Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm getting some special attention. Looking at me. What do you want me to say? Keep up the good work. The wire. Kings of comedy, man. Kings of comedy.
Kings of comedy. That happened in the wire, too, though, man.
Bernie Mac. Wow.
I'm just off then, man. I'm just off then. I'm just off then.
Wow.
I'm just off. So, anyway, my dog of the week is Greg Oden. Yeah, my boy Greg Oden. Got through his first full practice in like 20 years. Shout out to Gio, man. Get it going, finally. Get it going. I might root for the Heat just because of Greg.
Hey. Come on. We'll take it.
I might root for the Heat just to see Greg Oden get some shine, man. But
if I recall, you probably had Greg Oden at least 3 times a dog of the week. We got to go back and track that.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. I think I had him after the first knee surgery. And then I caught him after the second. And I ain't messing with him for a minute.
Chad started talking mm-hmm. about his ceiling. My man's ceiling kept getting lower and lower and lower.
Well, you know, with the right coaching, he could be a poor man's John Konkak.
Right.
It's between Greg Olin and T-Mac. Sometimes I just don't understand. I'm trying to figure you out.
Hey, you know,
Greg Olin and T-Mac.
I actually wrote quite a long paper about T-Mac, man. I got something for y'all when we had that conversation, so just be on the lookout for that one. That one's coming. All right, that one's coming.
I mean,
I got
Greg
some Odenez in the same on that one.
Being, Greg Odenez went from having a ceiling of Patrick Ewing to John Sally at this point.
maybe he can have half of John Sally's off the court career back.
There you go. There you go.
Ooster tag or something. Like Ooster tag.
Yeah. We hope we can get the Mark Eaton minutes out of him. Well, that's another edition of the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG Renegade Radio. We're signing off for the week. Check in next week, same time, same place, 8:30 to 10, Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you download that podcast. Check you next week. We out. Peace.